He's a dot-com guy.
Oh, what a tune. How soft. How sweet this morning.
It's got a gospel flavor to it. I like this.
Jasmine is tinkling on her ivories. What? What? Jasmine,
oh, it could be any number of people on the piano. But
well, who might it be?
Like it. Yeah, keep it running.
Yes, this will be our show this morning.
A 25-minute version of Swanee River.
Maybe not. Let's tone that down.
Thank
here.
Thank you, Steve.
So, Dave, I just got back, Mr. Swanee, from Ohio, where an exciting announcement was made. So I've been talking about, and they flew me out there, because this has been something I've been talking about for years. I am glad, of course, that human researchers, people, study, medical researchers study cancer, of course, right? But to induce cancer in laboratory rodent models only goes so far. I've been saying this for years. Why not look at dogs? Because we don't have to induce whatever cancer it is. Most dogs, sadly, get these cancers in the first place. They share the same environment we do, and they're more closely aligned genetically to people than rodents are. So what the heck? Why not study cancer in dogs, help people at the same time? So Blue Buffalo, the pet food company, said, independently of me, they said, how about we do that? It's called comparative medicine. And to the tune of $6 million, they are investing in the Ohio State University College of Veterinary Medicine, and they are doing just that for clinical trials in animals, and they are sharing that information with the human medical community. And at STARTS, what they're doing is they're looking at bone cancer, which is osteosarcoma, which happens sometimes in larger breed dogs. And there's really, at some point, nothing veterinarians can do about it. Yes, we can do some things and the dogs may live longer, and that's good, but we can't do any better than that. Well, with kids, I am told about 70% of those children, and children get the same exact cancer is all too common in kids. And about 70% of those kids, doctors can help. But what about the other 30%? Still a lot of children. And if you're the mom or dad to that child, I mean, it doesn't matter that it's 30%, you know. So let's do something about it. And that's exactly, thanks to Blue Buffalo, what's happening right now. And the human researchers, the medical oncologist and the pediatric oncologist are thrilled because here is a huge opportunity for them. So this was a very cool opportunity for me.
Welcome to Steve Dale's Pet World.
You don't have a better bad idea than this?
This is the best bad idea we have, sir.
If you've got pets, he's got answers.
You are a sad, strange little man.
Steve can help. We're positive.
Oh, God, this thing is going downhill fast.
You've got America's pet expert here on Steve Dale's Pet World.
Well, he is now known as the king of the poop control. Alderman Ray Lopez is here in the studio. Good morning, Alderman Lopez.
Good morning, Steve. How are you today?
Well, you know, I'm good. Thank you. You have been in the news. So when you said, I'm going to run for alderman, and all of the issues that city aldermen have to deal with, did you ever think that you would be in the news as the alderman saying, I'm all about dog poop?
No. You know, most people have their opinions on politics. I didn't think I'd become an expert on poop so quickly, but yes.
Yeah, so let's explain what this is about. There was an ordinance that if you live in Chicago, you may know about, that our mayor supported, another alderman supported as well, that you must pick up the dog poop in private backyards, and if you don't, you're going to be fined if it smells too much or if there's too much of it. Within 24 hours. Right. And you said, this kind of doesn't make sense. And the other thing that I don't think has been talked about enough is, depending on how you read the law, it's already the law. You're supposed to pick up after your dog. It doesn't say in the ordinance, I don't believe, and this I think is something that needs to be checked. It doesn't say only in public places. I think that's the assumption. So if that's if indeed that's already an ordinance, I don't even know why we need the thing.
That's actually a great point, Steve, because that was one of the arguments that we had with and one of the problems we had with this ordinance was that there are laws on the books for nuisance, for sanitation, and for cleaning up after your dog. There's an ordinance that says you have to have a bag when you walk your dog. So then why would we go and target not just the dog owner, but now we're targeting property owners who they themselves might not even be a pet owner, and hitting them with $500 fines every time, especially at a time in the city when people are already struggling. So it doesn't the ordinance that was proposed didn't correct the issue, didn't change behavior. And to be fair, and I know it's something that you've talked about plenty, it's not the root cause of the rodent explosion in Chicago.
Well, all right. So let's back up. Yeah, let's back up a step. So the presumption was the mayor said, I'm all for this because if you pick up after your dog, we will help eliminate rat poop. Well, it turns out that it's an urban myth, and dogs do not eat rat poop. I guess if they're starving, they would, you know, because rats eat anything. But I've checked. I've looked at research on this. Who wouldn't? You know, it's and it turns out that it really is an urban myth that rats will eat a long list, a very long list of items, including, well, it's early in the morning.
Birdseed, berries, open garbage cans, you name it.
And the early in the morning part that I paused at is that they will eat, if there are too many rats in a place, what they do to control population is eat their own young.
Eat each other.
Yeah, and they do that before they even eat the dog poop. That's how much they really don't like the stuff. So it doesn't, and they'll eat their own poop. It doesn't make any sense. And in fact, if we eliminated all the dog poop in Chicago or any city, but let's take Chicago, it would not impact the number of rats. So if tomorrow, poof, all the dog poop is gone, it's gone, then the number of rats stays the same. It really wouldn't matter.
Yeah, because someone somewhere has a bird feeder in their backyard. Someone somewhere is throwing bread out for the pigeons. Someone somewhere is not closing their garbage can fully in the city.
Oh, well, how about all the people that just take the trash and put it in plastic bags in the alley? I'm not talking about the recycled paper, though. Rats will even eat that. Mm-hmm. But I'm talking about the trash, you know? Garbage with food in it, leftovers in it. And they put it next to the garbage can because the garbage can is either filled or they're too lazy. And now you've got like a buffet set for rats and pigeons and everything else.
No, you're absolutely correct. And couple all of those factors with the amount of work that we're doing in Chicago, improving our infrastructure, improving our water mains, improving our sewer mains. I tell people all the time, what do you think lives in those sewer mains?
Yes.
When we're fixing them, they're going to come out. So, you know, we have record amount of improvement in the city. It's not surprising we have a record amount of rats coming out of the woodworks, too.
That's part of it. Our phone number, 312-981-7200. You can text. You can call your rat questions in. Or if you want to talk about the topic of lowering the euthanasia rate, what has been termed no kill, we'll do that, too, because that's what the alderman has been talking about as well. Our phone number, 312-981-7200. So, and our text, same thing. An alderman, our mayor, said you must pick up the rat poop in your own private backyards. Otherwise, the property owner will be responsible, as you describe. Another concern I have that I know you share is, well, now the property owner can say, I'm not going to worry about this. I'm just not going to allow dogs.
Right. So now you're going to have property owners, landlords specifically, who are going to be adverse to renting to families with dogs. And for me, that means that we're going to wind up with more pets, more dogs in particular, at shelters, surrendered, or worse, just turned loose on the city. And I think that runs counter to everything that we've been having discussions on with the animal welfare community, and that is, how do we decrease the amount of animals that are euthanized in Chicago? And I think everyone will agree that the best way to keep animals alive is to keep them out of shelters, keep them in homes that will take care of them. And I think this ordinance would have the unintended consequence of putting us three steps backwards.
Would you be opposed to talking to those in support of the ordinance and saying, all right, let's just add a word or two or three onto the existing ordinance if you want to make it more clear that picking up includes backyards, but also that ordinance that's been around for, I don't know how long, but decades, has never been enforced. So I have never
spottingly
seen,
enforced, yes.
At best.
Right.
And yes, so to speak. And and it's if we enforce what's already there, then, I mean, I want people to pick up after their dogs, and potentially there's a health risk
always
when people don't, mm-hmm. To the dogs and to us. And we want to make Chicago a more beautiful city, and stepping in dog poop doesn't do that.
I think this ordinance, like so many of the laws that get introduced sometimes, it all boils down to the enforcement anyway. And one of the arguments that I gave in the media was that if we don't enforce the laws we already have on the books, what do we need a new one for? We're basically just creating a nice sounding headline. But the reality is that if we can't enforce the sanitary code that we have now, which in my ward, I know I do quite often, if we don't have that citywide, there's no point in a new law. You're just basically targeting, demonizing, and giving grounds for discrimination for pet-friendly families.
Our phone number, 312-981-7200. Text at the same number. Several texts have come in, and one of those is asking about plastic bag dispensers like they have in other cities. And I know some other cities do have plastic bag dispensers throughout the city. Is that something that you think is a good idea?
I think that's something that we'd have to look into. I know, I believe the town of Cicero is probably our closest neighbor that actually provides its citizens the biodegradable
mm-hmm.
bags for dog picking up after your dogs. That's something that we could definitely look at. I don't know how we would apply that throughout the entirety of the city, but it would be an option to look at.
Yeah, and we could start maybe in the parks, you know, in some mm-hmm. large parks or at dog parks.
Dog parks, absolutely.
Yeah, and...
But I don't think the problem usually is in the dog park. I think the problem's in the neighborhood. So.
Yeah, I agree with you about that. 14 minutes before 7 o'clock on WGN. Oops, I believe we're back. Steve Dale's Pet World on WGN Radio, 10 minutes before 7 o'clock, 312-981-7200. And Peggy, you are on the radio with me. I'm excited about that. Good morning.
Good morning. I was wondering, as long as they were, you know, changing the infrastructure and everything, there's this big problem with mosquitoes and the disease and everything causes brain damage and all that. In the Caribbean and in Central America, they don't have any money. They don't have a CDC, and they're just waiting to die. But they had what they did was to get this mosquito larvae eating fish, and it's eating mosquito larvae.
Okay, that's an interesting question, actually, and I don't know. I don't know that the alderman is expert on mosquito larvae eating fish. Thank you for calling. I'll let you go so you could turn down your radio, Peggy, but we'll do the best we can to answer the question. So has the Zika virus been brought up in City Hall at all, Alderman?
There has been some discussion about the Zika virus, and there also has been discussion about how do we continue and increase our efforts for the decreasing the mosquito population. They've already begun spraying. Unfortunately, unlike the Caribbean, most of our mosquito problems come from stagnant water, obviously. And what we're finding is that we're making a good faith effort to try and decrease the amount of stagnant water opportunities in Chicago. So that means tipping over old tires, removing old tires, brushing out pools of water, anything that we can do to decrease the population.
It's kind of like the rat thing in that people can do on their own property. They can make a difference.
Correct.
Perhaps there should be an educational campaign about mosquitoes. And you just got back from Puerto Rico recently, so I'm curious.
I'm Zika-free, by the way. Thank you.
Well, the trick is you don't know that.
Hopefully.
Yeah, that's the thing. I mean, you could be asymptomatic and not know it. A mosquito that can carry the Zika virus then, in theory, can bite you and then give someone else the Zika virus. That someone else may be pregnant. That someone else then may be symptomatic as a result. And that's kind of how it does spread, if it spreads. We don't know if it's going to happen this far north so quickly, but I think the listener has a valid concern. I wonder if there could be an information sheet that the City Hall can send out, because even if there's no Zika virus, we don't want mosquitoes.
Panics.
Yeah. And mosquitoes are still not good. And for dogs, of course, they spread heartworm. So we want to protect our dogs against heartworm. And one of the products that's out there, it's a flea and tick preventive, is just brilliant. because it also kills mosquitoes. So you're in your backyard. You're, in your case, your dogs are out there with you. Let's say you use Vector 3D, which is the name of the product. Not only effectively do we protect against fleas and ticks, now we protect against mosquitoes in that they come and bite your dog. They go after your dog in some cases more than they go after you. So you're providing a public service as well as protecting your dog against mosquitoes as kind of a backup, if you will, a double protection to the heartworm preventive. I personally love that idea. Alderman Ray Lopez of the 15th Ward is in the studio. This has also been in the news, Alderman Lopez. The idea of creating this, quote, no-kill community. And I know you just recently spoke to a whole group of people, including the veterinarians and lots of folks representing shelters at the Chicago Animal Shelter Alliance meeting. I was out of town for that, unfortunately, but tell me about it.
It was a great meeting, Steve, to have so many of the animal welfare advocates and stakeholders there. I think we're all pretty much in agreement on what we envision, which is a more pet-friendly, a more humane Chicago for all our animals. I know that we are working together, trying to come up with the best policies and practices. I know a lot of folks are not always happy with the term no-kill because it seems to imply one thing while not necessarily meaning exactly that. But I think that overall, if we're trying to find and create a city that animals are only euthanized for humane purposes and adoptable pets are found placed in forever homes, I think that's all of our goals. And I'm thankful to all our partners that are working together with that, including yourself, including Anti-Cruelty Society, including the veterinarians, everybody who comes in contact with dogs, cats, and others.
Well, I think we all want the same thing. The question is of terminology and how we get there, really.
You know, one of the things that I said at that meeting was that the terminology for animal welfare advocates might not be 100%. But I think for right now, just to use it, even if simplest terms, as a marketing tool to get everyone's attention. And then once we have their attention, educate them on the correct policy and thought process behind what we're trying to do, that it will give us that opportunity.
And I know this was brought up about 15 years ago or so. This isn't 15 years ago. So Chicago is actually doing very well today right now. As far as, now it doesn't mean we can't be doing better, which is the whole thing. Correct. But we are doing well. I mean, with cats doing better than we ever have because of all the amazing rescuers out there. But even in the dog world, we're doing quite well.
I think for a lot of us, myself included, we could either be stagnant and say, yeah, we're doing great, we're doing well, and just leave it at that, or we could shoot for even better. And I think that is our ultimate goal. To be better than we were yesterday.
Yeah, I, of course, agree with you. I'll be following this at stevedale.tv.